We'd be ready to share why we have a hope laid up in heaven. This world is getting darker and darker, and people are freaking out. Christians are freaking out. Wait a second. You're Christians. You shouldn't be freaking out. We should be recognizing the times and praising Him that this is not our home, and be ready to share why we have hope in the midst of this time.
Thanks for joining us for this Monday edition of Equipping the Saints, featuring the Bible teaching of Greg Lundstedt, pastor of Equipping Bible Church in Greer, South Carolina. And Greg, today we conclude our look at Colossians 1, verses 5 through 8.
Yes, we will, Dave, and oh, what a wonderful passage this is. So friends, turn with us to Colossians chapter 1, and we're looking at verses 5 through 8, and this is a passage that just might change your life.
Well, thanks, Greg. Now, today's message is one you'll want to share with a friend. Just tell them to visit etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. They'll find today's broadcast as well as a host of other archived broadcasts waiting there for them. Our web address, again, is simply etsradio.org. Now, let's join Greg for today's message.
Some of you are still in the domain of darkness, as evidenced by your shame and guilt and blaming others for your situations and your sin. And the only thing you have to look forward to is the certain terrifying expectation of judgment. Hebrews chapter 11, 26, if we go on sinning willfully after receiving the knowledge of the truth. Now that's saying, hey, those who forsake fellowship are evidencing that maybe they're not saved. So that's the context there. We go on sinning willfully after receiving the knowledge of the truth. There no longer remains a sacrifice for sins, but a certain terrifying expectation of judgment. He goes on to talk about those who reject God's Son and insult the Spirit of grace. The Lord is going to repay with vengeance. It is a terrifying thing to fall into the hands of the living God. These people live their lives with their noses and their hands in God's face, and they die and they will stand before Him in a terrifying manner. Don't believe the lies of the world. It's the gospel, the truth of the grace of God. God is a gracious God. You see, we've been saved by grace. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Paul tells the Corinthians, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for your sake He became poor, that through His poverty you might become rich. He was eternally worshipped, eternally exalted as God the Son, but He took on human flesh and humbled Himself, becoming a bondservant in the likes of men. He took on human flesh, and He was obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. Therefore, God highly exalted Him back to His rightful state, we see. The grace of God. You know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's God's grace. Are you listening? See to it that you do not refuse Him who is speaking, Hebrews 12:25. So today I proclaim to you the good news that God's grace has appeared and that His grace was manifest in His Son dying for our sins, paying the full penalty. And He calls upon you to acknowledge your sin, to turn, repent, believe in Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. There is only one name under heaven in which we must be saved. It's through Jesus Christ. So then, the gospel is the good news. It's the message of truth concerning the grace of God and the person of Jesus Christ, who died for our sins and rose from the dead so that we can have eternal life through faith in Him. That's the gospel. It's being perverted these days. It's the gospel of error these days. We need to not be ashamed of it because it's powerful. It is the powerful gospel. It is the power of God unto salvation. Trust the Lord, and when He calls to you to be obedient as His minister of reconciliation, as His ambassador, share His words, not yours, share His. But you need to be ready. Now, what's amazing as we come to our passage here, that is the message. That's the message of the gospel. But notice there's a means in which it is delivered. Verse 5, the gospel. Notice verse 6, which has come to you. Just as in all the world. Paul reminds the Colossians that the gospel has come to them. This gospel, this message of truth, this gospel, the grace of God, It's come to them. Now, it's interesting. It's not the normal Greek verb to say come, which is erkomai, which is often translated come or go. It is paremi, which speaks of being alongside. It has come and is present. It's come and it's there. It's alongside. It was with them. It had been delivered to them, and it was with them. We never leave the gospel. God brings us the gospel, and it is with us, as we say. But God brings it to us. We don't come to it. God brings it to us. And how does he do it? He uses men and women who are his servants to deliver it. Look at verse 7. Just as you learned it, that's speaking of the gospel, from Epaphras. They were taught the gospel. The term learned means to be taught something. They were taught the gospel from Epaphras. And what then was their response? Back to verse 6. The gospel which has come to you, just as in all the world, also it is constantly bearing fruit and increasing. We'll look at that in a minute. Even as it has been doing in you also, since the day you heard of it and understood the grace of God in truth. First of all, you got to hear the message. Someone brings it. You hear it. How beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. We'll see that in a minute. You hear the message, but then you need to understand it. Paul would tell Timothy that it's so great, Timothy, your mother and grandmother, they brought you the truth that brought about the knowledge of salvation. And Timothy obviously understood in that. So here, now this term here, we understand it, akouo, we get our word acoustics. Understand is an interesting word. It's not epignosis, it's epignosko, which means to understand or know exactly, or thus to recognize or acknowledge. You know, when you recognize someone, you know exactly who they are. Aha, it's you. You got it, right? You know exactly. And so here, they heard it, and they understood it. The gospel, that God had manifest his grace in Jesus Christ, and that they needed a Savior, and he was the only Savior. And they believed. We see that they believed by faith. Back in verse 4, they believed they had faith in Christ. Praise God. So he says, which has come to you. Then he says, just as in all the world. So wait a second. Why do we have missionaries then? He says, just as in all the world. Kind of interesting statement. Now, it's a difficult statement to interpret, but does Paul mean everybody's heard it? Or is he just using hyperbole? Well, we know from Luke chapter 24 that the forgiveness of sin should be proclaimed in his name to all the nations. We know from Acts 4:12 that there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven that has been given among men by which we must be saved. So what's he talking about? I'm not totally sure, but what I think he's saying is the gospel has come to the known world. At that point, all of the Roman Empire had heard the gospel. It had gone out to the known world. It was known. Right now, it's known in the known world. It's come. It's come to the United States. It's come to other countries. Now, there may be pockets of people in the jungle who haven't heard, whatever it might be. God's bringing people to have them hear that. If they're willing, if they want, if they seek the Lord, you know, they don't suppress the truth and unrighteousness. They call upon the God that made the heavens and the earth. He's going to bring the gospel to them. So here, they understood it. It was delivered by men and women, unworthy souls, fragile clay pots like you and I, and we, like Epaphras, get to participate in the greatest venture of all time, proclaiming and heralding the grace of God in truth. 2 Corinthians 4:5, for we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus is Lord, and ourselves as your bondservants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said light shall shine out of darkness, is the one who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the surpassing greatness of the power may be of God and not of ourselves. Isaiah 52:7, how lovely on the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news, who announces peace and brings good news of happiness, who announces salvation. Blessed are those feet. Paul would share this also. He would quote this in Romans chapter 10, verse 14. How then shall they call upon him who they have not believed? How shall they believe in him who they have not heard? How shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they're sent? just as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring glad tidings of good things. Are your feet beautiful? Are they laden with the dirt of your own selfishness, having the glorious message held up in a dirty vessel? The Apostle Paul was not ashamed of the gospel. He understood its power to save, but we need to be walking with the Lord because sometimes we're ashamed of our own selves and our sin. We need to be walking with him so we're ready to share the truth. Romans 1:16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation. Paul would tell the Thessalonians in 1 Thessalonians 2, our exhortation does not come from error or impurity or by way of deceit, but just as we have been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel, so we speak not as pleasing men, but God who examines our hearts. We share it with much more of a fear and awareness of God than a fear and awareness of the people we're sharing it to. We need to be caring for them, but we need to be fearing him much more. We've been approved by God to share the gospel. So we speak not as pleasing men, but God who examines our hearts. You know, we need to be ready. We need to be ready to share why we have a hope laid up in heaven. This world is getting darker and darker, and people are freaking out. Christians are freaking out. Wait a second. You're Christians. We shouldn't be freaking out. We should be recognizing the times and praising him that this is not our home. And be ready to share why we have hope in the midst of this time. Peter would tell us, but sanctify Christ as Lord of your heart. I mean, set him apart as Lord. If he's not Lord, you're not going to be ready to share why you have hope. Okay? Set him apart as Lord, always being ready to make a defense to everyone who asks you, by the way, they're asking you, to give an account for the hope that is in you, yet with gentleness and reverence. We have the glorious gospel entrusted to us. We need to be ready to share it. Pray for opportunities. Open doors. So then the message of the gospel is delivered by God through faithful men and women. And notice the result. Look at the result. Back in our passage, verse 6, which has come to you just as in all the world also, it is constantly bearing fruit and increasing, even as it has been doing in you also since the day you heard of it and understood the grace of God in truth. Wow. He begins with a statement of the nature of the gospel and its effect in all the world. It's constantly bearing fruit and increasing. God's word is alive and powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. And piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit, both joints and marrow, and able to judge thoughts and intentions of the heart. And there's no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are open and laid bare to the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Hebrews 4:12 through 13. So here we see the gospel is bearing fruit and increasing. The term bearing fruit means bearing fruit, okay? The term increasing is actually a botanical term that speaks of a plant growing. You can actually translate it growing rather than increasing. It was often used to speak of a crop growing. Jesus used it to speak of a mustard seed growing, the leaves of the field growing. Jesus used it to talk about the seed that fell on good soil in Mark 4:12, and other seeds fell on good soil, and they grew and increased. They increased and grew and yielded a crop, produced 30, 60, and 100-fold. Paul uses this word to describe the work of God through his life-changing word. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 3:6, I planted, Apollos watered, but God caused the increase or the growth. So then neither the one who plants or waters is anything, but God who causes the growth. Now what's interesting here is he's talking about an ongoing, continual, habitual growth and increase. The Greek phraseology here is there's the actual Greek verb eimi, which is or to be. And so he modifies it here. He says, it is continually, habitually, constantly bearing fruit and increasing. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. It bears fruit of a changed life. Through their faith in Jesus, their love for the saints was manifest. We see in context, even Epaphras has informed them of their love in the Spirit. You think of the Thessalonians. They got saved powerfully, right? God's word changed them. When someone hears the gospel and don't change, when they've responded, praise the Lord. These Thessalonians, we see in 1 Thessalonians, the gospel came with full conviction. And we see that they turned to God from idols, to serve and wait for his son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus, who delivers us from the wrath to come. They believed it. And we know that not only does the gospel, the truth of the word of God, change us initially, it keeps on changing us. That's what it's saying here, bearing fruit and increasing. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. And for this reason, same thing, we constantly thank God that when you receive from us the word of God's message, you accepted it not as the word of men, but for what it really is, the word of God. Hey, we praise God you accepted it and you got saved. And then notice what he says, which also performs its work in you. The gospel, the grace of God, never leaves us. As we've been saved by faith, we walk by faith. We walk by his grace. We walk by his grace. Everything from Christ, nothing from us. And it bears fruit and it increases. So then, he says they're bearing fruit, increasing. And notice even further on, we're going to see this. If you look in verses 9 and 10, we see the worthy walk, which we'll look at next time, Lord willing, stems from being filled with the knowledge of his will. And it will manifest then, or will be bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. It's going to bear fruit. So now it's not only that those who responded in the known world, notice Paul narrows it down now to the Colossians, back in our passage, which has come to you just as in all the world, also it is constantly bearing fruit and increasing, even as it has been doing in you, since the day you heard of it and understood the grace of God and truth. Now, your translations may not show this here, but there are two phrases that are exactly the same. One is right in the beginning of verse 6. It goes like this. Just as even in all the world. And the same phrase is used in the middle of 6. Just as even in you. Just as even in all the world. Same phrase. Just as even in you. It's bearing fruit in the world and increasing as it is in you, Colossians. And notice he gives an illustration. We see this here. This happens, and it's been happening since day one, middle of 6. Here we go. Since the day you heard of it and understood the grace of God and truth. They heard, they understood, they knew exactly, they responded, they recognized it, they acknowledged it. They believed in Jesus. And so from day one, there has been fruit coming forth and increasing growth. That's the real believers. So praise the Lord. That's something to pray about, isn't it? That's something to pray about. And then, as I mentioned, there's an illustration of this. Verse 7, just as you learned it from Epaphras, our beloved fellow bondservant who is a faithful servant of Christ on our behalf. Epaphras evidently shared the gospel with them. He taught them the gospel. The word learn means to be taught. He taught them, Montano, he taught them the gospel. He learned it. It's speaking of the gospel, the grace of God and truth. You learned it. You learned about the grace of God. People say, yeah, I got saved. Well, what does that mean? They didn't even know about the grace of God and truth. But they learned the grace of God and truth, what Christ did for them. Evidently, Epaphras had gone probably to Ephesus. We know that when Paul was in Ephesus, all in Asia heard the word of the Lord. We see that in Acts 19. Quite possibly, Epaphras went there. We don't know. But what we do know is that they learned the gospel from him. What a good guy. They were taught it, and they recognized the truth, and they believed it. And at some time, they shared it. Now, notice how he describes Epaphras here, this illustration. He calls him our beloved fellow bondservant. He's loved. He's a fellow doulos. A bondservant is one who is owned by a master and held over to do his will. We were held over to do the will of sin before. That was our master, our own desires. And now Christ, a good master, is leading us, and we're held over to do his will. We've been bought with a price. We're not our own. 1 Corinthians 6:19. We're either going to serve self and sin or God, as Paul would share in Romans 6. We can offer ourselves to sin, or we can offer ourselves to God. Who we obey, either sin resulting in death or obedience resulting in righteousness. Romans 6. So we've been bought with a great price. We're servants. Joshua would say, hey, as for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. But notice, he was not just a bondservant. He was a faithful servant, middle of verse 7, of Christ on our behalf. Paul's saying that, hey, he is doing his service for Christ on our behalf, which implies Paul is directing Epaphras how to serve and what to do. But he's serving Christ. And he says he's a faithful servant. Beloved fellow bondservant, a faithful servant of Christ. This means he was willing to do whatever Christ led Paul to ask him to do, right? And I want to ask you, are you a faithful servant? Are you willing to do whatever those the Lord has placed in authority over you spiritually? Are you a faithful servant like Epaphras? You know, over the years as I've served, there's only a few number of people who serve faithfully without complaining. They just do what I ask them in the Lord, and I'm so thankful. So thankful. So then, he's a good guy. He's faithful. Let me share one passage before we close up here. 1 Corinthians 4:1, let us regard us in this manner as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. In this case, moreover, it is required of stewards that one be found trustworthy or faithful. So he is faithful. He's a faithful servant, and he had brought the gospel to them. He taught it to them. And then notice, he has also done something, verse 8. He has also informed us of your love in the Spirit. That's the fruit, and that's the growth. That's what he's talking about in context. He has also informed us of your love in the Spirit. You see, we receive the Spirit of God and we're saved. And when we abide in Christ, His Spirit in us, we're going to love. It's going to be from Him. We're going to see others as more important. And He said, hey, we got the report. And it's a good one. So these Colossians had responded from day one. And they were bearing fruit and growing in their relationship with the Lord as evidenced by their love in the Spirit. Because the Word was working in them. The gospel was at work in them. So let me ask you this. Is the gospel continually bearing fruit and growing in you? Is the Word of God at work in you? Increasing your love? God's Spirit loving through you as you abide in Christ? This is what should be happening. We're not perfect, we sin, but this should be happening. For this reason also, since the day we heard of it, we have not ceased to pray for you. That's what we'll see next week. We heard of it. You're loving. It's true. It's true. So then we've seen the gospel, the good news, the word of truth, revealing the grace of God in truth, what Jesus did for us. And it came to the Colossians and they responded as evidenced by bearing fruit and increasing from day one.
If you've just joined us, you've been listening to Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt. You can hear today's message again by visiting our website, etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. CDs of today's message or other messages are available at our website as well. And as a part of the ministry of Equipping the Saints, all our audio resources are available at no cost to you, thanks to the Lord's provision through the faithful support of friends of this broadcast. To order your complimentary CD, call us toll-free, 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. If you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org.
Friend, before we close today's broadcast, I want to talk to you directly about your eternal destiny. If you were to die right now, do you know where you would spend eternity? If you're unsure, here are some important questions to answer. Do you believe that you are a sinner in need of forgiveness, that you've sinned against a holy God? Do you believe that you are unable to do anything about your sinful condition? Do you believe that Jesus is God, that He took on human flesh, that He came and lived the sinless life and went to the cross and died for your sins? He was buried and rose from the dead 3 days later. Do you believe that His work on the cross was sufficient to forgive you of your sins? Are you willing to acknowledge that until you repent of your sins and turn to the Lord Jesus to save you, that you deserve hell and will be sent there? If you believe these things and want to receive Jesus' offer of eternal salvation, then you need to turn to Him and ask Him. Whoever will call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Father, I thank you so much for your word and your son Jesus. And I pray for those listening today who do not know you, who still are in their sins, that they would turn from their sin and trust in your son Jesus Christ for salvation, that they would be saved.
Father, we thank you for your word and we thank you for your son, and it is in his name we pray.
If you've taken that eternally important step, we'd love to come alongside you in your new relationship with Christ. So would you take a moment and contact us? We'd like to send you our new believers packet. In that packet, you'll find a message from our teacher, Greg Lundstedt, some helpful Bible study tools, and a Bible. It's our gift to you to help you in your new relationship with Christ. You can request your new believers packet online at etsradio.org, or if you prefer, call us toll-free 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. And from all of us at Equipping the Saints, welcome to the family.